Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, presented by Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Sam Farber.
Welcome to another edition of the Hornets Hivecast, your Hornets podcast with all the notes, quotes, and daily buzz around your favorite NBA team. I'm Sam Farber, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us here once again on the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. It is mock draft season. Last time out here on the HHC, we were talking with Jeremy Wu of ESPN about the number 2 overall pick, and he's kind enough to join us again here today, talking about the draft as a whole, and specifically more so looking towards the back half of the first round, the non-lottery portion, as well as the second round of the NBA draft in general. There's a great history of some great players being drafted by the Charlotte Hornets in this section. Think Devontae Graham, Cody Martin, who have gotten second contracts. Jalen McDaniels has had a lot of success in the NBA. These were all Mitch Kupchak selections here, post-lottery portions of the NBA draft. And then historically, there are some huge names currently playing significant roles, to say the least, in the NBA playoffs that were not selected in the lottery. So what goes into process of evaluating these types of picks? What should the Hornets or any NBA team be looking for? No one better to help us decipher that than Jeremy Wu, who's back with us once again. He's an ESPN contributor. He covers the NBA draft as well as basketball prospects as a whole. You can find him on Twitter at Jeremy Wu, and you can find him right now, right here on the HHC. Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us once again here twice in 1 week on the Hornets Hivecast.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to.
Kind enough to join us the other day, really focusing more on the number 2 pick and what that might mean for the franchise. Today, we want to stretch it out a little bit. Charlotte has 5 total picks in this draft, another first rounder at number 27, 3 high seconds, all in the top half, 34, 39, and 41, giving them the flexibility in theory to move around in the draft and target specific players or completely remake a third of the franchise in a matter of speaking by adding 5 of potentially the 15 or 17, I guess, with two-way players spots on the roster. How big of a draft is this for the Charlotte Hornets with that plethora of picks and all of them being, as of this moment here, in the top 45 compared to other teams that have had this kind of opportunity historically?
Yeah, well, I think it's definitely a juncture where the goal is younger and adding some depth and finding a few guys you like to develop. This is a good opportunity to do that. In this draft class, you know, I think 27 is a pretty interesting pick. You know, once you get into the second round, you know, I don't know necessarily that you're going to get someone who is going to be, you know, ready to step in and give you minutes right away. It obviously depends on, you know, what direction you go. But I think just from the angle of, you know, who can we add that addresses, you know, whatever the concerns are or, you know, depth questions are, or who they want to, which spots they want to upgrade, hopefully in the long term. Obviously, with so many picks in that range, you can take a swing on a player with high upside. You know, you can be a little bit riskier in terms of you know, what if it doesn't pan out, right? Because you have more bites of the apple, I think, in that range. So I think it'll be interesting. And also, you know, I think it's with any team picking that many times, it's probably unlikely they keep every single one of those picks. But, you know, you can always move, try to combine picks to trade up or move around or whatever, you know. So they definitely will have options and a lot to consider.
All of the general managers in the NBA, they're going to go through their process, what they're looking for in terms of late first round, second round picks in general. As you, someone who evaluates prospects all season long, all year long, how do you evaluate someone who's maybe in that late first round, second round range as compared to a top five pick? What do those top five picks generally have that maybe you're not quite clear enough yet on players that are going to last 20 and beyond?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, there's always a hierarchy with this type of thing, and you always start from the top and work down in terms of, like, who would you rather have, and it's going to vary from team to team based on, you know, what you value and what you need. I think, I guess to generalize, when you're picking late first round, early second round, I would say generally there are, like, two types of picks. It's either the, you know, experienced college players who are maybe more ready to plug in and help, but might be a little bit older. Teams might view them as having a little bit less upside just because they are further along in their development. Sometimes you can get those guys a little bit later in the draft and get really, really good bargains where they're ready to come in and play right away, and they give you immediate value. The other type of player you often will kind of see in that late first round, early second round, guaranteed money range still is often there are freshmen who slip, who are younger and maybe less proven, but might, you know, have flashed talent in the past in high school, or for whatever reason, you know, their stock has slipped somewhat, or guys who have, you know, are really great athletes who need more skill development, like that type of thing. Those guys are often viewed as higher upside picks, if maybe riskier, because they are a little bit younger, right? So I think those are often the two types of, just speaking very broadly, the two types of picks that you see sort of in the 25 to 40 range. And then, you know, once you get further down in the draft, oftentimes now it's guys are agreeing to two-way contracts in order to get drafted, and then that's sort of dipping into the roughly more undrafted type of player.
What, in your opinion, is the right way to go about it? Because we look at Charlotte's recent history, particularly under Mitch Kupchak, and he has a very good track record of drafting guys in the second round like Devontae Graham, like Cody Martin, who have not just gone on to be contributors on their initial contract, but earn second contracts and maintain their status within the NBA. But then on the other hand, it's been a little while since we've had one, but there is a history of all-stars, if not all NBAs, if not MVP caliber players being found in the second round. Nikola Jokic was a second round pick, of course. Chris Middleton, Draymond Green, these were second round picks. So is there a right way to go about it in terms of, in Draymond Green's case, he was not the young 19-year-old when he came into the NBA. He had a little bit more experience as a senior out of Michigan State. Chris Middleton had played a couple years of college. Jokic himself was a teenager coming from overseas. So maybe in asking the question, I've answered it myself, that there isn't a really right way to go about this. But what would you say is the best way to target these later non-lottery type picks?
Yeah, well, I think it really depends a lot on, you know, each individual team and what their risk tolerance is, what their needs are. For example, if you are a team like the Hornets and you are sort of still young and still building out your roster, you might be inclined to, you know, grab someone who's younger and try to develop them in a way that fits the team. On the flip side, you could say, well, you know, they've taken that route in recent years, taking younger guys, with, you could look at Nick Richards or Bryce McGowan's, and they have these young guys in the roster already. So you might say, well, maybe it does make sense to grab an older player who you can plug in and might be able to give you minutes right away, right? So again, it really depends on each situation. I don't think there's necessarily a philosophical, like, right or wrong answer to that, but that's what I'd say in terms of approach.
Has the profile of a non-lottery pick changed since you've been doing this? I mean, we're in an era right now where so many of the top guys are one and dones, really young players, teenagers in almost every case. Is there a different type of player now that's lasting outside the lottery that wouldn't have 15 years ago?
That's an interesting question. I guess off the top of my head, I don't know if I have an answer to that. I think the things that teams are valuing have maybe changed a little bit. Like, there's certainly a heavy priority on shooting just because it's so much of kind of what makes a good offense go now. It doesn't have to even be your stars, right? I mean, you need to have guys who can make shots and play off those guys. And, you know, I think traditional size is something that matters. The bigger guys often trickle up. And so that kind of, you know, maybe sometimes that pushes down. Maybe if you are not a super athletic guard, you know, you're like a scoring guard, like those guys sometimes will fall a little bit. But I think it's hard to generalize just because the shape of every draft is so different in terms of, you know, who is available and who is picking where and what their needs are, right? So, like, I know it sounds like I keep repeating that, but it's very hard to make without really looking at a whole data set of, you know, 5-10 years, make a generalization.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com. Where America goes to hire.
Jeremy Wu, our guest today here on the Hornets Hivecast, ESPN contributor covering basketball prospects as well as the NBA draft. You just talked about how the 10 to 15 year timeline maybe is the better way to assess how right or wrong the general managers are from draft day. How much more difficult is that now? We just talked about how the profile of a lottery pick has shifted to younger and younger, but also, you look deeper into the draft, there's a lot of guys that are going one and done and making that immediate jump into the professional ranks. How much time does it really take to discern whether or not you or your brethren as mock draft experts were correct in your projections, and the general managers who are paid to make the picks as well, when you have to go down and really drill down, see who is successful or not? Is it the day after the draft? Is it after their rookie seasons? Is it 5-10 years down the line?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just depends on what you want to assess. I mean, you know, if you're looking at, well, how accurate was my mock draft? You know, you can find that out the day after the draft, right? But in terms of, you know, if it's your own rankings or your own inclinations on players, I mean, that does take time to bear out. I do think there's probably a lot of knee-jerk reactions in terms of evaluating picks nowadays. I think that's just part of like the online coverage sort of cycle. It's often looking for answers when there might not be the, you know, the story hasn't played out yet. And guys do figure it out later. So I don't know. For me, I think the key is not obsessed over being right, because of all the different factors that go into a player succeeding and failing. You know, you can nail the evaluation, something else can happen that, you know, derails it, right? So I just think it's important to keep that perspective in mind when you go through it. You can't be too hard on yourself at the end of the day. It's easy for me to say because I don't have to pick anybody, but I think that's probably philosophically the way to go about it.
No, but I think that's interesting, because I think we've seen, and not just in basketball, but in a lot of sports, sometimes the reaction of the crowd on draft day would lead you to believe that the fan base is not happy or is overjoyed about a particular pick. And then, you know, for whatever circumstances later on down the line, the perception of the pick is completely different. But in the moment, there might be a right play to make. We all like to think, oh, Denver was a genius for drafting Nikola Jokic in the second round, and everyone got it wrong for not doing it in the first round. But maybe that was the right pick at that time, that it would have been foolish in the moment to have made him the number one overall pick, although I feel foolish saying that because he's the two-time MVP and just led the Nuggets into the finals.
Right, no, but totally. I mean, you're right there. I mean, you know, it's one thing to be like, oh, if we redrafted, it would go this way. But it's another thing to like rewrite history and be like, oh, yeah, he should have been the number one pick. You know, you don't know what happens if a player goes to a different situation, right? And that's not to say that in Nikola's case, he wouldn't have been really good somewhere else. But sometimes the landing spot really matters. And sometimes it can benefit guys in some respects to fall lower in the draft in terms of motivation or fit or having to earn it. You know, like there are so many different factors that go into player development. And you know, we could talk about it for hours, really. But yeah, there's always this tendency to be like, oh, yeah, this guy, Draymond, how is he not a top-five pick? But again, he had to go to Golden State, and he had to find himself there, and he was paired with players who really fit around him, and he was well-coached, and they used him perfectly. And there, you know, there's so many things that go into having a career like he's had that are pretty impossible to predict when we're looking at this just in a vacuum, right, of who are the top 30 prospects. And you know what I mean? So it's just it can be so relative and subjective, and it's always fascinating to see what are the commonalities between these sort of outlier case studies of second rounders who break out. But it's, you know, it happens very rarely, right? I mean, we're talking about the handful of cases where it's really happened.
Two more questions for you, Jeremy, before we'll let you go. One is, you mentioned fit and how for Nikola Jokic, the fit in Denver ended up being perfect. The situation ended up being right. It allowed him to excel early and often all the way up to the present where he's now a two-time MVP and has led his team to the NBA Finals. When you look at the Hornets and what is there to support, not just the number two overall pick, but anyone else that is selected in this upcoming draft, how well set up are the Hornets right now with already all-star level player in LaMelo Ball and some key veterans under contract at other positions? How well set up are they to support not just a rookie, but maybe several rookies to have successful seasons in early portions of their career?
Well, you know, I think it always helps to have a point guard in place. I mean, just generally speaking, I mean, and LaMelo is a great, excellent passer, you know, like having a guy like that who can draw, you know, the attention of defenses and who can find open guys. I mean, that can be really helpful if you're a young guy and to have someone to help create those opportunities for you. So I think that onto itself can be a good step in the right direction to start. I think it also depends on what position you're trying to fill, right? I mean, if you're a point guard and you go to the Hornets, you're probably backing up LaMelo for a bit, right? You're probably not starting. So that can be a hindrance. But if you're, you know, say you're a power forward and, you know, they don't bring those guys back, they don't bring back Bridges or Washington, and you know, have, you know, some opportunity for minutes there, that can be great. So, again, it can really depend on how they draft and, you know, how they approach these picks. But I think certainly, you know, having some veterans there and having an established point guard to, you know, distribute can be very helpful.
Last one for you here, Jeremy. The goal for so many Hornets fans and the desire is to see this team take a step and make it into the playoffs. And it is difficult for rookies at any point in NBA history to make a significant impact for that kind of jump. But when you look at even last year's draft, Keegan Murray was a top five pick for Sacramento. They clearly had a lot of other pieces in place already, including an all-star level talent that was already on the roster that probably had as much as anything to do with why they made the jump into the playoffs. But Keegan Murray was able to contribute towards that success. Then you've got other teams like the Oklahoma City Thunder, who had the number two overall pick, didn't play the entire season, and they too made a significant jump. So that kept in mind, what do you think the chances are for the Hornets and their draft picks, multiple, to have an impact on making that jump next year? Or are the answers to that question already in-house or already out there as restricted or unrestricted free agents for Charlotte in terms of making that move towards the postseason?
Yeah, well, I don't think any one player is necessarily going to be the answer to, you know, turning it around. I mean, as you know, we mentioned before, like being healthy is very helpful and going to be crucial for them. You know, I think there is opportunity here for whoever they draft to be impactful. Their bench was not the most productive. You know, it was one of the lesser in terms of scoring benches in the league. So I think naturally when you have these picks and you are looking at, you know, maybe you're looking for someone who can help right away, and there is going to be opportunity and minutes available. So I think that can be attractive. again, a lot of it depends on if they're going to make push for the playoffs. You know, how do these guys improve internally? Who do they bring back? Can they add players via other means to sort of keep up with the rest of the East? Because it is kind of, you know, even with the play-in opening up spots, I mean, you have these other young teams. You look around the league in the East, you know, Orlando is getting better. Indiana is getting better. Like, it's a challenge to keep up. And so I don't know if there's one right answer, because it's really an all-around approach question, right? But certainly I think they're at least – there's stuff to work with in the roster where they can conceivably, you know, push for one of those playing spots if they put the resources in.
Well, Jeremy, we want to thank you for spending so much time with us this week talking about the mock drafts. We know that as an NBA team, we have different restrictions on us and not saying too much specifically out there, but you've given us some really great insight. And one thing that we encourage all the fans to do as well is continue to check out your great work on ESPN. You tweet out a lot of it at Jeremy Wu. We look forward to seeing your coverage here over the next few weeks and hopefully seeing some great picks come here to Charlotte. But thank you so much for joining us here this week on the Hornets Hivecast.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot.
That's going to do it for this edition of the Hornets Hivecast. Thanks once again to Jeremy Wu of ESPN for joining us. We are going to have many more experts in the mock draft world joining us here on the HHC, talking about the number two pick, the draft as a whole, what might be possible for the Hornets moving forward here on a draft that really could reset things for the entire franchise looking into the future. It's a big one. We're looking forward to it. Draft day, of course, is June 22nd. And make sure you're keeping an eye on Hornets social media as well as Hornets.com. For all the latest on draft watch parties and events that will be coming up on a very, very exciting and very, very important date for the Hornets franchise. Thanks again to Jeremy Wu of ESPN. Find him on social media at Jeremy Wu. Thanks to our producer, Rob Longo, for putting this podcast together. Most of all, thanks to all of you for tuning in today. For everyone here, I'm Sam Farber saying it's been a pleasure and a privilege having you along. We will talk to you again next week with more mock draft analysis right here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Thank you for listening to the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.